Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. We celebrate the octave of Easter. This was once called Low Sunday. You know, Easter Sunday's high. This is Low Sunday. What is the octave? 8 days of Sunday. And we have this great passage the first week and then the second week with Thomas. And so we also celebrate, of course, Divine Mercy. And St. Peter tells us in that first reading, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection. And that is why we have mercy, because forgiveness comes from the cross. Christ transforms the world with the love that is offered. His heart opened on the cross is the door through which the grace of forgiveness enters the world. Through that love that opens up right there, then we all have this forgiveness. We have this hope. We have an encounter with hope. An authentic renewal is accomplished only through forgiveness. Nothing can improve the world if evil is not overcome. And Jesus has done that. He's conquered sin and death. And when he proclaimed the kingdom, when he was walking on the earth, he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the good news. So Jesus gives of himself continually from the cross through the sacramental life of the church and the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, Eucharist. We celebrated those last week with our 6 new persons who have entered the faith. Jesus rises from the dead. He imparts the Spirit. We heard it today. Receive the Spirit. And he breathed on them. And he commissions the apostles to forgive sins in John 20. At the Last Supper, he commissioned them to celebrate his body and blood of the new covenant. And in the first reading today, Acts 2:42, you have the first community of Christians that followed the apostles. You have the church in one verse. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the breaking of the bread, the communal life, and the prayers. Church, in one verse, there it is. They're living it. So you have this forgiveness of sins, you have baptism, and you have the Eucharist, and all of that sustains our life. And so before he ascended to the Father, He gives that great commission to those disciples. You hear that at the end of Matthew 28. To go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins. Because Christ knew we cannot walk if we are weighed down. And that baptism begins that grace, and then we walk in it through the regular renewal, through the sacrament of reconciliation, and the regular strengthening in the Eucharist. I mean, we've received that. Are we open to that? And all of this comes to us through the apostles, and the apostles are sinful men. And there they are. They're a sinful man, but they're made whole in Jesus Christ. And so the power of the Holy Spirit brings mercy and forgiveness. And we have this great blessing of mercy and forgiveness as the incarnation continues to live in our sacramental way of life in the church and with each other. So in a particular way, we live this in Easter. We encounter the, as St. Peter says, the indescribable joy of the risen Jesus Christ. I mean, he means it. Because he rejected Christ and Christ died and then he rose and then he told Jesus, I love you, three times. He knows what indescribable joy is. The joy of being brought back into the arms of the love of mercy of the Lord that he rejected. And he has this life. We have received an imperishable inheritance in the presence of Christ. It doesn't get wiped away. It doesn't perish. It's constantly there. And our life of faith guards what we have received because we're responding to that grace that's being dumped upon us. Now, there will be trials and there will be tests, as you heard in the second reading. But this purifies us because in the trial and the test, we humble ourselves to the Lord. And we live in his mercy and give glory to God. As the Lord came from the Father and has given us light, life and love, so too the mission must continually set us in motion. Or as Pope Benedict said, it make us restless. You just can't sit still. Because there's something to be done. Because you've received this grace, this mercy. I was like, I can't sit still here. I want it to go out. I want it to be alive. I want others to know. And it just can't sit there and be stagnant. What St. Peter is talking about is this grace has been given to us and it stirs us into motion. And then it stirs us into living it in our own lives and bringing it to others. So to bring those especially to those who suffer, those who are in doubt, as well as the reluctant. The reluctant, they're like, you know, I'm right. I don't know. They're the ones that as they're talking, they lower their chin, they look away, they talk to you from the side. They're not so sure about this Jesus. We can't get bogged down in that what if, you know, what if the Lord will not be there for me? The moment Thomas touches the wounds of Jesus is the moment of mercy. That is the moment. Because you know that he's there. And then Jesus just goes this and looks right at him. And he brings him to him. Thomas, come here. And that's the moment. Because it's an encounter with the risen Lord, and he saved through the wounds. As we pray in the Anima Christi, intra tua vulnera abscondame, into your wounds, hide me. Hide me in that wound, because that's the wound that saved me, because I am in need of mercy. And Thomas received it through the personal encounter with Jesus. The wounds of the risen and glorious Lord are the permanent sign of God's merciful love for humanity. As Jesus spends 40 days with them until the ascension, every time he's speaking to them, and he's like, and he raises his hands and he's talking to them, they're like, eyes, wounds, every single time he's speaking to them. Because there he is, the risen one, with those wounds. And from those wounds flows a spiritual light that enlightens consciences and pours into hearts comfort and hope.